TNT Radio wants you to get on our soapbox because your opinion matters. Tell us what you really think at tntradio.live. Upload a video, some audio, or drop us a note on TNT Radio's soapbox, lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. You're listening to Joseph Arthur and Adam Clark on today's news talk, TNT Radio.
Oh, it's a $1.75 trillion omnibus bill. Oh no, over 4,000 pages of the way the government is gonna spend your money. $200 billion for gender equity in Pakistan. And $575 million for family planning, a.k.a. abortion to Planned Parenthood. Oh, no. Oh. It's a $1.75 trillion omnibus bill. Let's ride the magic bus with Ruckus on the Joseph Arthur Technicolor Dreamcast on TNT Radio. Oh no, the country is going down. Ruckus, how are you, my friend? This omnibus bill is crazy land. I don't know if you got into it at all, but it is stunning. How you doing, Ruckus? What's going on?
Hey, hey, yeah, good to be here. Yeah, no, actually, Joseph, how are you, first off? One of those days, man.
I'm dandy, my friend. Dandy. It's a cool. You know, listen, let me, I mean, you're in, where are you? You're out there in New Mexico, so probably similar for you, but, and not to start off with the weather or anything like that. So something so boring and dull to talk about, but I have to say, moving from New York and just being an Arizonian dude now, you know, it's just a beautiful spring day today. I'm in, you know, in the park with my daughter. It's just, I'm good, man. I'm blessed and I feel very blessed. Except for I'm reading about this 4,000 page omnibus bill and I'm trying to make a Who song like, oh no, the magic bus, but the magic omnibus. But I didn't quite nail it. But anyway, it was an attempt. So yeah, that's how I am. Wow. How are you, Ruckus?
Okay, well now I'm jealous because it got freaking cold here, dude, in Albuquerque.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In fact, from what I've been reading lately, it's going to get really cold everywhere soon. But yeah, no, the news today was warning about an extreme cold snap here in New Mexico. It did get cold today. Today is the first day of winter. Happy winter solstice to all the pagans out there and all that
yes.
stuff.
That's right.
But this the omnibus
pagan
bill.
Holiday.
It is. Yeah. Getting back to all of that fun stuff, I did report about it a little bit earlier today with Hervory Morch right here on TNT Radio. I barely got to dig into it because, dude, this thing is huge, right? It's 4,000. Oh, gosh. What
Over
was it?
4,155 pages.
Mm-hmm. You're gonna love this. I did some math for everybody. Okay. So I'll share it with everybody here.
Oh, is this a black pill moment already?
Oh yeah, because listen, dude, they dropped this thing late on Monday night at like 1:30 in the morning. Yeah, it's ridiculous, right? Okay, so like we said, it's 4,155 pages. We figured out basically the average mm-hmm. person can read about 250 words per minute. We're just going to guesstimate that on average each page is 500 words. That means it's going to take the average person 2 minutes per page to read. That's 8,310 minutes, which is 138 hours, which is 5 to 6 days. How are they going to get this thing done in 3 days? How are they going to read it in 3 days, Joseph? Unless they bring in the world's fastest speed reader who can read 25,000 words per minute. That's 1.2 seconds per page. They would be done in 83 minutes. Bravo. But obviously, no. They're not going to be able to read this. If it gets passed, if it just gets rammed through, there's no way. It's literally impossible for them to read it in enough time. And there's a lot of interesting things in there from what they have been able to read so far. So that's what I've been barely able to scratch the surface on.
Yeah, well, Mitch McConnell's like, the U.S. top priority should be funding and arming Ukraine so it can beat Russia. on the battlefield, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell told reporters on Tuesday ahead of a visit by Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky, quote, making sure the Defense Department can deal with the major threats coming from Russia and China, providing assistance for the Ukrainians to defeat Russia. That's the number one priority of the United States right now, according to most Republicans, McConnell said during the press conference. The number one priority is more money to Ukraine. And I guess $45 billion are going to Ukraine. There's $45 billion going to the military. I don't know. I've seen different reports. But I guess, you know, the right wingers like all this military action and military money. So there's also some other strange places this money's going to.
$45 billion, as ridiculous as that is, that's just a drop in the bucket, dude. Overall, the bill contains $858 billion dollars for defense. It's an increase of almost 10%, 9.7%.
Yeah.
What the actual man? I don't. This might be the night I actually swear on this show, Joseph. This is ridiculous.
Don't do it,
this is absolutely insane.
Don't lose your principles.
Dude, there's all sorts of stuff in here that's really pissing me off, man. That they got all this stuff in here, how they're going to be able to tackle January 6th lawsuits moving forward. There's all sorts of crazy stuff in here, dude. And in general, we're like, as Rand Paul, he made a nice show of things. I don't know if you saw what he did. He wheeled out. He did a little press thing.
Oh, yeah.
And he wheeled
out. Wheelbarrow.
And you see all the signs that was on the wheelbarrow? Dude, it was all warning, danger, like the danger electricity signs. It's all like, this is the most dangerous thing to our democracy. It was great. It was quite showman-like.
He's undefeated.
But he makes a point, like I just laid out right there, like literally, you know, if you trust the science, the math, the statistics, it's going to take people too long to read through this. So obviously, whoever is in a great big hurry to push this through do not want everybody to read it. And I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist or jump on board this political game here, but man, talk about shenanigans, Joseph. It's kind of in your face.
Well, I mean, the main number, there's some interesting ones, $200 billion for gender equity to Pakistan. That just seems odd.
What?
And then, like,
there's always stuff like that.
Yeah, there's some weird ones. And then there's some, you know, there's specific ones against our own border. I have a bunch of different headlines I got to engage with here. But, there was...
I got one. There's a $3.6 million Michelle Obama trail in Georgia.
Right. For a natural trail. Yeah. And Nancy Pelosi got like $2 million for something as well, which is kind of strange.
The Speaker Pelosi Federal Building in San Francisco.
There it is. So, but the main number is the $1.75 trillion, which is going to be added to our $30+ trillion debt that's already in place. So that, you know, really is going to devastate the dollar and devastate the middle class, really. I mean, you know, there is a lot of ridiculous funding in here. $575 million for air quotes family planning, abortion, you know. Even for vasectomies, I think there was some money allotted for those, and just ridiculous stuff. Hundreds of billions for vaccine injuries as well. And they made specific points to say vaccine injuries from like as far back as like the 80s or something to cover their tracks that way. Well, they're not talking about current ones. They're talking about, but they are allotting a lot of money for vaccine injuries, which is pretty interesting. Funny.
The one time the proverbial they don't want these things to be considered vaccines. They're like, well, actually, technically, these new ones aren't vaccines. And we'd be like, that's what we've been saying.
That would be funny. This is worrying, though, man, because the dollar's just going to lose value. You know, there's just more debt. It's just out of control debt. And so this is just worrying for the common man, basically, and stretching out those disappearing dollars more and more and more. You know, this is very concerning. It's really troubling because, you know, to invest in our military that heavily, it's like, what's more of a threat? you know, foreign invader, military level foreign invaders, or the threat of devastating economic collapse. You know, what's likely to cause more lunatic amounts of death? Oh, he said that, huh?
I probably heard him say it, and
that's where I got it. Okay.
Yeah, no, he literally was asking that question. No, it's because he's the only one up there making any common sense statements, and you and I are common sense people. That's why we're all saying the same thing. But that's what he literally said. Here's what, I'll quote it for you. What is more dangerous to the country? $1.1 trillion in new debt, or as Republican leadership likes to say, oh, it's a win. It's a big win. We're getting $45 billion for the military, said Paul.
Right.
So which is more important? Which threatens the country more? Are we at risk of being invaded by a foreign power if we don't put $45 billion into the military? Or are we more at risk by adding to a $31 trillion debt? So bingo. Great minds think alike, Joseph.
Okay, yeah, no, okay, now, trillion.
So now that's the other interesting thing. I said something to Hervory earlier. So this would add to that. So if this goes through, now we're up to 32, right? And I keep thinking of all of this Freemasonry symbol, you know, the numbers and 30, 32, all that stuff. And I'm like, you watch, by the time the next presidential election rolls around, we'll be at 33.
Mm. I'd say that's conservative. Well, the good news is there's going to, some of the money's going to a Ukrainian independent park in D.C. So,
well, good.
I know that thrills you. So that gives you a place to travel to
go visit
the Ukrainian independent park.
I was happy about the $3 million that's going to help create bee-friendly highways. But that's just me, I think. Big fan of the bees.
Well, bees are important, but yeah, I think we have bigger fish to fry. Salmon. Speaking of fish to fry, salmon got mentioned a great deal, which I saw somebody write, that seems fishy, which is funny.
$65 million commitment to Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery. Right on.
I don't know, Ruckus.
Somehow, I don't think the salmon get the money directly.
What is the point of all this? Where do you think this is heading? I mean, is this just more evidence of just unhinged government corruption and overreach and crashing America as a concept, as a country? I mean, what's going on? This is just like out of control. And at what point are we like, do we turn into Venezuela?
Right. No, this is just more of the same, what we've been talking about. What I was getting on a little bit of a heated rant last night, I'm sure if I remember correctly, about the wheels coming off and everything. That's where we're at, dude. They want absolute, utter, in your face. Look, here we are. Everything's falling apart. We want you to see everything falling apart so you all lose your freaking minds and we can come clean up the disaster after the chaos that ensues. I really strongly feel that we're really at the, I mean, actually, I think we passed the tipping point. I really don't know how we can keep going much longer, dude. I really don't. All it's going to take is one thing at this point. It really feels like that to me, dude. I hate to say that, but it's the only explanation. There's no other explanation for any of this. You know what I mean? Granted, they do this political hoopla stuff usually, you know, often, but when you look at some of these really, you know, some of these, I don't know, dude, the timing, I don't like any of it, dude. I really think they want it out in the open. They're intentionally pushing this through so quickly, giving them only 3 days, understanding that it's possible for them to go through. So if it does go through, imagine how more pissed off the people are going to be and in their government and in the process and not trusting it. And that's at the end of the day, that's the ultimate goal. Whoever they are behind the scenes, pulling all the puppet strings. They just want America to be destroyed from within. They just want it to completely fall apart. They want us all to have absolutely zero faith in the system, zero faith in our leaders, zero faith in our media. And all of these things are not hard to do. And arguably, A lot of these institutions don't deserve our faith anymore, but there's nothing wrong with the institutions or the idea of them themselves. It's the corruption, the disgusting cancer that has been growing within these things, an infection coming from some of these secret societies, I strongly believe. I joke about the 32 and the 33, but the people who don't joke about that stuff, they're the ones who are involved in all of this, literally. So, you know, not surprised when I see those numbers at all.
Rep. Dan Bishop says, it expressly prohibits GBP funding from being used to improve border security. My team and I are reading through the omnibus bill today, all 1.7 trillion and 4,155 pages of it. Then he goes about it expressing CBP from funding more border security for our own borders. And yet, Bishop points out that the bill allocates $410 million towards border security for Jordan, Lebanon, Egypt, Tunisia, and Oman. Yeah,
well, that just doesn't make any sense. Just not here.
Especially, it's just like, especially with the fentanyl problem and the problem going on in El Paso right now with the airports. People living at the airports. I think I just saw a report about busing in tons of immigrants into Tennessee. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. You know, when you're in this kind of debt and you're spending all this kind of money on other countries and just, yeah, it just doesn't make any sense. So do you think this is going to pass or what? I mean, it might because they have a lot of support from the right wingers about the old military spend.
That's the other, that's the concerning part. I'm afraid the Republicans are willing to sacrifice and take a chance just because in their mind they think it's a win on some of these things.
Because of the military.
Is another thing that Rand Paul was basically pointing at. So I think that's the dangerous factor here. I think that, yes, the Republicans will rush this through because they're a bunch of greedy. The Republican Party has been known to, you know, if it's going to be pork, they love their military pork, dude. Come on. They're hawks, dude. They usually are. Trump's presidency was the only time I did not see like a sitting Republican president in my lifetime where they weren't like all gung-ho about war and foreign lands and, you know, playing Team America, World Police and all that. And now we have both sides on the inside with their hands on potentially $1.7 trillion, $858 billion worth going to said military infrastructures. Scary.
And a collapsing economy as a result. We'll be right back after these words on TNT.
Trish Wood on TNT Radio.
Doctors at Duke University, where Yulia has been awaiting a kidney transplant, have told her parents they will not give her a new kidney unless she is vaccinated against COVID, even though Yulia has already had and recovered from COVID. What's interesting about this story is that Chrissy Hicks, she had some audio of the doctors explaining why they would not give Yulia the kidney transplant she so needs. And what was interesting about it was the absolute lack of empathy and humanity in the voice of those doctors. And it's something that I've come to fully have taken on board during COVID, that medicine now seems to be kind of medicine practiced by guidelines and rules, right? It's not directed at the individual patient. It's practiced by guidelines and rules. I don't understand how people so committed, or allegedly so committed, to saving and nurturing human life could make a decision like this and tolerate a policy like this.
Trish Wood on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Public school is the instituted agency of socialism throughout every community.
The U.S. government has no authority to have any role in education.
We're going to lose our very republic if we don't stop this indoctrination of children in government schools.
What happened to us in China can happen here.
Have one kind of education and then call it equity.
It's about outcomes. It's about trying to force us all to be equal.
I think we're going to have a race civil war in our hands.
We are exposing kids to pornography as early as kindergarten. Parents just don't know.
No, not anymore. Not anymore. Parents need to wake up. They don't have the interests of your child at heart.
Truth and Lies in American Education at salemnow.com.
Big pharma corruption, medical corruption, government corruption, political corruption, climate change corruption. The threats to your happiness are many, but that's where we can help. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio. Our truth shall keep you free.
Welcome back to Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast, here with Adam Ruckus Clark, who apparently thinks we're Joe Bastardi, the weather guy, because he sent me this breaking news. We are only at the very beginning of winter, and we are already being hit by a storm that will bring the coldest air in decades to many parts of the country. In fact, there will be some areas where wind chill temperatures drop so low that it will literally be life-threatening to be outside. Needless to say, we could really use some of that global warming they keep talking about right now, because conditions are going to be bitterly cold all over the U.S. this week. What do you make of this? I mean, this is just doesn't reflect my reality at all here in Arizona, Ruckus. Although I have been going to the cold plunge place every morning and going doing cold plunges for like 10 minutes in freezing water. And I got to tell you, it's amazing. Great thing to do for depression or any kind of mood problem.
Endorphins. That's not medical advice or psychological advice.
Yes, it is. It's all that. It's medical and psychological advice.
No, it's not. This is not meteorological advice either. But this is what they're talking about in the news, dude. You seriously didn't hear about this? It's actually kind of all
I didn't,
over the news.
Just from this article.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah, no, this is it's got a scary name too, but this is for real. They call this thing a bomb cyclone blizzard. So it's called a bombogenesis.
Sounds like a new milkshake from Dairy Queen or something. The bomb cyclone blizzard sounds delicious.
Yeah. apparently we've seen these before. This one is really, 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 really big. It's going to cover almost the entire country east of the Rocky Mountains. So, when you look at the pictures of this thing on the radar maps and everything, it does look quite ominous and frightening. I know a lot of people, look at that. Yeah, that's going to hit everybody, Joseph. You're going to get cold. Everybody's going to get cold. I hope everybody's prepared. I believe it, man. Listen, I don't know if we're supposed, to be scared or if we're supposed to be wise and be prepared. That's what I think we're supposed to be.
We're supposed to be wise and be prepared.
Our friend Hesher and the lovely Spore, they suffered a power blackout during a cold snap last year in Texas. You probably remember that all over the news, right? They had some issues. It was bad. They were without power. So they're all prepared now. Everything's good. But this is going to get bad. I think we're going to, I don't know, man. We need to pray for everybody. And I hope everybody stays warm and has a way to stay warm. And this could be a nasty cold thing coming through at a bad time, too. You know, everybody's going, it's the holidays. Everybody's traveling right now. We have all this immigrants. Where are they staying? Are they crashed out outside? I saw some local news here. They're literally the people coming through. They're just crashing out outside all over the streets. I forget how they labeled them on the news, but they're immigrants who've crossed illegally over the border, and they have no place to go, and nobody's taking care of them. They're just outside, and now it's going to get cold. Great, that's happening everywhere. So this is not going to be good.
That's not good, and I definitely feel for people that don't have homes or ways to heat their home. That is awful. And definitely I'll be saying prayers for them, but weather has always happens, and it's always been extreme. It always, like, I grew up in Ohio, and every year there would be blizzards that would completely bury all the cars in the street. I mean, it was Ohio, and then New York, sometimes you get a mild winter, but I don't know, that would be the exception over the rule. So I just wonder how much of this is just trying to freak everybody out about the concept of climate change and weather, extreme weather conditions, to sort of play into that agenda of you know, man is destroying the planet and creating this disastrous weather pattern.
I see. Okay. I have no doubt in both of those instances. No, I do believe that this storm is real and it is coming. Okay. I could make an argument about
it. But
possibly,
I mean, there are extreme storms.
Listen, right. That's what I'm saying. Once it hits, yes, we will hear nothing but how this is it's your fault, my fault, because we didn't take the vaccine, because people who don't take vaccines don't believe in climate change, yada, yada. I guarantee they already have that article probably written, ready to go. There you go. That's a freebie for all you crazy freaks out there who call themselves writers. But I promise you, and we'll read about it here on air, we will read an article that makes that argument. But we have to wait until it hits. They don't do that until it hits, okay? Now, this is actually, you know, I'm trying to this is a real thing. And the problem is, what I'm mentioning is that, like, not only do extreme weather events happen, we also know how to prepare for them. And a lot of our emergency management systems are put in place in various areas designed to only take care of our known needs, populations, et cetera. There's been a lot of strain and stress and changes that have taken place, especially since 1983 and 1989, which is when a lot of these places, the last time they experienced cold snaps like this and cold wind, like we're talking about like 30 to 40 degrees Fahrenheit below zero in some areas of Montana and North Dakota, Joseph. Okay, it's going to get pretty effing cold. Okay, so
I'm not saying this is because of climate change, you know. I know. I understand. But I'm just saying these kind of weather extremes, like TNT's own Joe Bastardi, you know, enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got. One of the best call lines in the business, you know, and he speaks on this. I interviewed him many months ago, and he was like, weather always is extreme. It's always brutal. It always comes with big crescendos. It's like an orchestra of madness. That's what weather always is, you know. And in certain areas, and I'm not saying there won't be some unusual things that happen, but even unusual things happen when you really sort of take a wider view across time and see, oh, this happened back in 1915 or something, this crazy storm. There's all kinds of histories of crazy storms. And you're talking about 30 below. I mean, when I would tour in Canada during the winter, Northern Canada, it would be like 40 below, you know, with wind chill, and 60 below, just crazy below zero, where you'd go outside and it didn't even feel like cold anymore. It just felt psychedelic, and all the hairs in your nose would instantly freeze. It would just be like so extreme. So humans are able to deal with this. Now, when we're talking about homeless population or people that have a hard time paying their energy bills, that's a whole other situation, as we said. But just for, you know, normal life, if you have a way to heat your home, and, you know, I don't think there's anything to be alarmed about a brutal winter storm, basically. But just coming from where I came from, brutal winter storms were every year.
All right. I agree. And I correction, the problem in Texas happened in February of 2021. So, but that's the problem. This threatens the energy infrastructure. You know, we've made a lot of changes since the 1980s is all I'm saying. And then there's been a lot of changes just since the last major storm in populations, and the way things have changed in our government and the way we respond to emergencies and everything. I just don't want people to get caught off guards, because if the energy infrastructure fails in a lot of places, there might not be enough emergency, you know, places set up. And then, you know, who wants that? We don't want to all be relying on the government to save us. So I hope people are just being, you know, cautious and prepared. That's all. Yeah. You know, PSA.
I agree. God forbid that anybody gets hurt in this storm. All right. We'll be right back after the headlines on TNT.
TNT Radio News.
Huge news. News.
Matt Boylan here with a look at your TNT headlines. Twitter's newly minted CEO Elon Musk says he'll quit the top job as soon as he finds someone foolish enough to sit in the hot seat while he takes a back seat. Thousands of ambulance workers have walked off the job in England and Wales a day after nurses walked out. And Russian President Vladimir Putin has revealed Moscow's newest intercontinental ballistic missile, capable of travelling 18,000 kilometres, will soon enter service.
From our family to yours.
Happy holidays!
Getting together with family.
Celebrating, just being together and being happy.
Making new memories.
Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast with Adam Ruckus Clark. We covered this a little bit. We touched on it, I think, yesterday's show. But left-wing Academy Award-winning actor Tim Robbins defended those who oppose vaccine mandates and lockdown measures after admitting he used to feel anger for such people before opening his mind. Quote, "I bought into it," Robbins told actor and podcast host Russell Brand. I was masking everywhere. I was keeping my social distance. I was adhering to the requests made of me, and I felt angry at people that didn't do that. The Shawshank Redemption star said he isolated himself in New York for 7 months at the start of the pandemic before traveling to Britain for work. The trip was a catalyst for Robin's change, the actor recalled. I guess he went outside and started talking to some of the protesters, and he recounts saying that, you know, that they weren't at all what the news media was painting them out to be. They weren't these Nazis or far right fascists or crazy people. He said they were lefties and just people that basically like freedom. And it's like, hallelujah, Tim Robbins. That's exactly it. That's, you know, it's so interesting the way you get sort of cast as some kind of like hard right wing alt right thing if you bucked the system during COVID. But that's the facts. That's what happened. But good for Tim Robbins for owning, you know, being wrong about a situation. I mean. And again, it's like, I just have infinite respect for anyone that admits that, no fault I can find in the man at this point. I don't care that he believed in it. I don't care if somebody believes in it, if they own it and go, you know what, this was bunk. I was wrong. I'm like, dude, you're restored in my life.
And so now he's voting Trump. He wears the MAGA hat and everything. No, I'm just kidding. could you imagine though to be like, congrats. I always liked him, by the way, as an actor. Totally, 100%. He's great.
Yeah, me too.
Especially Shawshank Redemption. Wow, what an awesome movie. Everyone,
a lot of good
movie.
Ones, man. Mm-hmm. Jacob's Ladder. Remember that one?
Classic.
Remember The Player? Robert Altman.
I think
that's
I
a great
that
Tim Robbins, dude.
Okay, I'll have to watch
go
that.
Watch The Player. Robert Altman, The Player. It's all about a Hollywood mogul or whatever, and fantastic.
That would explain why I skipped it. Okay, cool. But I'll watch it for sure. This is an interesting microcosm. I wonder how many other people are out there like our friend here, Tim Robbins. We're never going to hear about them, but I imagine this is happening all the time. You know, he can't be the only one who noticed those things. You know, he can't be the only one who noticed that he was told all these people who were ignoring the commands from the government were going to die. And then they're like, they didn't die. That's weird. How come no one else did that? Yeah, of course they did. There's lots of people who did that. They're just like that's probably all of the new listeners. By the way, shout out to TNT Radio. We hit 3 million playbacks, downloads, etc. Is that awesome or what? So maybe,
numbers.
You know. Yeah, so the numbers are going up on a lot of alternative news sources. There are a lot more people now openly talking about things that just not that long ago were considered conspiracy theories. What the heck, Joseph? We're talking about in the mainstream news about how the CIA had a hand in killing JFK. I mean, this is crazy, dude. I mean, what planet is this? I mean, are we in some weird sci-fi twisted thing? This is just a weird metaverse in Elon Musk's head. I knew it. It's all fake. I don't know.
Yeah, that report was like the final nail in the coffin of the term conspiracy theorist, which rose from the JFK assassination and was, you know, I talked to Mark Crispin Miller, the teacher of propaganda at NYU, and he told me that was the term conspiracy theorist inception, basically. They used that, and then they went on to use that to anybody that questioned any government narrative. They just would call it conspiracy theory. And Tucker's takedown of that was brilliant. And it sort of justified and validated anyone who questions. I mean, he talked to that one whistleblower who said that the CIA was definitely involved in the assassination of JFK. And this is a guy who's not a conspiracy theorist, but somebody who has the data and has seen the data that we still haven't seen. So, you know.
He's probably got the whole thing on film or something. Who knows? Real quick, before I forget, the other point about the Tim Robbins thing is this is one of the many reasons why they had to shut everybody away from each other, right? They had to like keep everybody socially distanced and locked in their homes. And basically at that point, the only communication and connection they had to the outside world was through controlled streams, the news and the Zooms and the social medias. And well, now we're seeing exactly how that all played out, right? How did it go for all of us out there when we're like, hey guys, I think they might be lying about this pandemic. Oh, shut down. You're in Facebook jail forever. You know, it's like, so yeah, they didn't want anyone interacting with each other, because even Tim Robbins was like, hey, I saw these people and look, they're not Nazis. I'm shocked. He must have been absolutely shocked to hear the news portray these people as the way they were, and then to see it with his own two eyes and be like, huh, that's weird. So again, I imagine lots of people experienced that. So this is a good sign, a good feel from this, actually.
Yeah, it is. It's wonderful. And again, I definitely think so much of what's destroying our country and destroying the world hangs on the COVID narrative. I really do. I think when that blows apart wide, which it's blowing apart, I feel like that's the Achilles heel of many of these things that are destroying, that are an attack on freedom and people's civil liberties. You know, because I think, you know, all these things, it's like brick by brick, or sort of taking brick by brick away, however you want that analogy to work. But like things like the reveal of JFK recently, and then the COVID narrative falling apart, it basically just sort of whittles away at people's trust in media and government. And that's trust that should be lost post haste.
Well, again, but it ultimately serves. It's like danged if you do and danged if you don't. I think, are we ultimately playing right into the hands of what they want?
Probably.
This is the weird part about all of this. Okay, Joseph, this is what's been freaking me out. It's like for the longest time, I wanted to shake people and wake them up and make them aware of certain things. But now it seems, if we're to believe, you know, what we're seeing in the news, as long as we're not stuck in some super crazy, scary, like echo chamber that we don't even know about, that would be really scary. It's now what? I'm at this eternal now what point. Okay, they're like, great, the CIA, basically we have proof that they were involved in assassinating a sitting president. Great, now what? Here's the Twitter files. We have proof that the government is interfering with our constitutionally protected First Amendment rights and lots of other things. Great, now what? We're seeing all this evidence of election fraud and ballot problems and tampering, and no one's doing anything about it. Now what? They are eternally, like I've
died
mentioned
suddenly,
this a number of times.
Now what? Same thing.
Yeah, I think they want everybody to know so that they finally just pop off. I hate to use that expression, but what is the tipping point? How do people react? At what point? I guess... The only thing is if the lawmakers, if the actual sitting politicians, the people who are in charge, actually stop and do a 180 the way Tim Robbins did and said, oh, wow, oops, we're bad. What the heck were we thinking? I don't know. We were on drugs. Say anything, do something, but they don't. And that's telling to me. So that means that they want everybody to just lose their crap, dude. I almost said it, but yeah, doing good here. So yeah, that's absolutely what it
you
is.
Are doing
and
good.
How terrible yeah. is that? That's we don't necessarily. Why would we want people to have a zero trust in the government? Why do we want to not be able to trust the people who have been elected?
Well,
this
to
is
provoke
terrible. This
change, Ruckus. I mean, there is ways to provoke change without popping off, you know. And listen, and your theory is decent. It's pretty good. I hope it's not the truth. I hope that's not how it plays out. You know, it's the emperor wears no clothes, and you know, the reveal of the nakedness of the emperor is just happening slowly. You know, fake clothing item by fake clothing item. And then in that story, there's an ignition point where first it's the kid that says, hey, the emperor's naked. And then pretty soon everyone is just sitting there laughing at the emperor. And I think that is what will happen. I think human consciousness will expand to the point where we will demand legitimacy of our constitution, and there won't be these sort of this hangover of this smear campaign to anyone that defends our freedoms. So all the labels of alt-right, racist, intolerant, homophobe, whatever the smears are against people who just really want basic freedoms and to like live and let live, of course, with, you know, government in its proper place, taking care of crossing the T's and dotting the I's and what government's proper place and all that. But government overreach is just out of control. And it's acting like a criminal junkie at this point, especially with this omnibus bill and stuff. It's just it's almost like an out of control teenager at this point that, you know, is hell bent on totalitarianism.
I do have a second theory, if you want to go over it.
All right, we'll hold that thought. We'll be right back with Ruckus's second theory after these words on TNT.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
A recent survey confirms what most people with an open mind and any common sense already believe to be true. There's very strong support for terrorism against Israel among residents of the Palestinian Authority. WorldIsraelNews.com reports the Palestinian Center for Policy and Survey Research found that 72% of respondents said they favored the formation of more independent terrorist groups to hit Israel with terror attacks. And there's more. 87% say that the Palestinian Authority does not have the right to arrest members of these terror groups. That's right. Only 21% favored negotiations with Israel, and 51% of Palestinians chose armed struggle. And as for the endless mantra of a two-state solution, only 32% favor it. All in all, the numbers are just more proof that the Palestinians are the perfect peace partner for Israel, and there's no reason whatsoever for Israel to have any hesitation about giving them more and more land. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
One kind thing, like giving us the clothes you don't wear anymore,
gets me a wheelchair and my independence back.
One kind thing, like raising money with a bake sale,
gives us comfort, food, and a warm smile after floods destroyed our home.
One kind thing, like challenging yourself to a sponsored cycle,
helps me sleep soundly, knowing my children have clean drinking water.
Choose your one kind thing and help change someone's world. Search British Red Cross today.
Germany is to comply with the EU directive to end fertilizers, following the Netherlands. First it was energy, and now it's food. There is no climate emergency. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast, here with Adam Ruckus Clark. The FBI defended its actions in the face of fierce criticism rising from the Twitter files. Dun, 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 the Twitter files, which revealed contacts between the Bureau and Twitter executives. The statement follows disclosure showing the government warning Twitter employees about foreign election interference campaigns, after which the bombshell story about Hunter Biden's laptop from the New York Post was censored by Twitter, the Bureau pressuring Twitter for access to user data, and FBI paying $3.4 million to cover the costs of processing the agency's processing request. Quote, the correspondence between the FBI and Twitter show nothing more than examples of our traditional, long-standing and ongoing federal government and private sector engagements, which involve numerous companies over multiple sectors and industries, the FBI said. All right, so I read that. I do want to hear your other theory as well. I read that because that goes in line with what we were talking about anyway, and it's adds on to the story of what we're talking about. It's another weak link in the chain of people's trust in government. But go ahead, Ruckus. What was your second theory?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, actually, because I was going to bring all of that up too. Okay, perfect.
Perfect.
And shame.
Great minds think alike.
Double shame here, by the way. First of all, shame on you, Joseph, with your emperor wearing no clothes scenario. We would never be laughing at a naked emperor these days because that would be body shaming. So we need to retract that.
All right, you're right. I apologize.
That being said, I'd like to finish the statement from the FBI because it's very interesting. You started it there. I'll finish it. As evidenced in the correspondence, the FBI provides critical information to the private sector in an effort to allow them to protect themselves and their customers. The men and women of the FBI work every day to protect the American public. It is unfortunate that conspiracy theorists and others are feeding the American public misinformation with the sole purpose
of
attempting to discredit the agency. And I want to say shame, shame on the FBI.
Shame on all of us.
They refer to the men and the women of the FBI who work every day. Excuse me, there are in fact 58 genders FBI, not just
two. I should have listed them all.
How dare you? How dare you? But all kidding aside, no, you're absolutely right, and it says it right there. This is a troll. This is in your face. This is them saying, "We know that you know that we know that you know that we know."
Yeah,
you know what I mean. This is crazy.
And we're still just going to boldly gaslight. It's like, it's just such a bold gaslight. It's like, oh, they think we're dumb. Or it's either they think we're dumb or they're talking to people that they think are dumb. Or, and what's even darker, and I think what you just kind of said is they know we're not dumb. And they're just boldly gaslighting and saying, see, we can just get away with it by spinning it this way.
Until they can't get away with it anymore.
Right.
Unless my second theory is some of these systems, maybe all of them independently, although it almost feels like it's happening at once, could all be that a lot of the solutions that will be offered to these problems will heavily rely on big tech. And that's where, you know, it really kind of has been the biggest conspiracy theory around since before the pandemic. Those of us who are digging into this whole concept of the fourth industrial revolution, which kind of got rebranded as the Great Reset not that long ago. So more people are familiar with the concept under that idea, but it does certainly definitely heavily involve.
Is that the fourth turning?
The fourth industrial revolution, this move towards the Internet of Things, everything connected together, the 5G, 6G, right. The brain chips, probably the satellites that Elon has up in the sky, the everything app that he's working on. It all ties in together into one giant social credits, Mark of the Beast system, all your banking and your identity and your behavior and everything all tied into one, and probably all on the blockchain, which leads me to this giant guffaw, back to the omnibus thing. I do not take credit for this idea. I heard somebody earlier today on TNT somewhere, across the many great shows here at TNTRadio.live, which is where you go to find all those aforementioned shows, by the way, folks. They said something to the tune that, or gave me the idea that they were implying that there would be some way to take the human element out of the process when it comes to some of these decision-making things. Because if the problem is that us stupid, poor, slow, emotional, you know, compromised humans can't accomplish the job, which arguably that we do seem to have a problem there, maybe a machine or an algorithm, a program, will be able to solve some of these problems. You know what I'm saying? nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of things are going to be moving into the hands of artificial intelligence. We've been seeing and talking about lately these artificial AI programs with the artwork, that Lenza app, and then that ChatGPT thing, which was totally wild. Mm-hmm. You just throw all of that together with some of this other stuff. I was just reading an article for Hervory's show earlier today about artificial intelligence cyber attacks are going to become the norm within the next 5 years. And that whole thing is just absolutely crazy and frightening. They can bypass biometrical things now. So what normally it would be a facial recognition or a voice recognition. Oh no, thanks to deep fakes, we can now bypass all of that crap. So, you know, and you know about the blockchain stuff. I know about the blockchain stuff. And I'm very certain that all of this is eventually leading towards things being on the blockchain and things executed by what are called smart contracts. You know what I'm saying? So,
NFTs. It's gonna get really, everything's going to be an NFT.
Quick. Yeah. We're probably going to be NFTs, Joseph, ourselves.
Well, I'm working on a bunch of NFTs right now, actually. I love NFTs. I think in terms of artists being able to support themselves, they're wonderful. I mean, all, you know, tickets are going to be NFTs. Everything's going to be NFTs. There's going to be a record for everything on the blockchain, basically. So when people say, oh, NFTs, they're, you know, it's a bubble. But no, it's not. It's going to be the future. And everything's going to get sold as an NFT. And, you know, you'll get tickets to classic concerts and you'll keep the NFT of a ticket. And then those things will acquire value if it was a particularly legendary concert, stuff like that. That's in our future for sure.
Do you have everybody on the Trump NFTs? What's the floor price?
Look it up real quick. I had another article up about a woman getting arrested for praying. I think you sent it to me. Let's see.
Yeah, I know. I feigned surprise.
Okay. It's 0.23 ETH. 0.235 ETH is the floor price. So it has doubled value, more than doubled value. Not too shabby at all. It went up to a 0.8 at one point. And I was coping. That's the word you use for when you didn't buy into something and you could have quadrupled your money and you knew better, but you didn't do it. That was what I felt like about those Trump NFTs. They were so ridiculous. Of course they were going to make money. Who couldn't see that coming a mile away? And anyone who bought in when they minted did pretty good still, even if you held on to them the whole time.
Well, Joseph,
you should have sold at 0.8.
Speaking of seeing things a mile away, George Orwell warned us in his book 1984 that one day the authorities would arrest people for thought crimes. This is that story, buddy. This is crazy. In the UK, it appears Orwell's grim warning about wrongthink has come to pass. A British woman was arrested after she told police she might have been praying silently when they asked why she was standing on a public street near an abortion facility, according to a report from somebody in the UK. So there you have it.
ADF, yeah. Isabel Von Spruce, the director of the UK March for Life, was standing near BPAS Robert Clinic in King's Norton, Birmingham, in an area ADF UK called a censorship zone. That sounds Orwellian as well. You're in a censorship zone. That's a good song, too. You're in a censorship zone. You're in a censorship. I'm writing that later. This is nuts, man. Is this true? I mean, this seems so outlandish that, I mean, what this comes from newspunch.com. I've never heard of it. It's one of those weird ruckus sites.
They do apparently a lot of reprints. So this actually links back to a Fox News report, which links back to an actual report coming from the UK. This is an actual thing. So here's why this happened. Because of the stuff that happens around abortion clinics with protests, Birmingham's authorities have established what they call a buffer zone around abortion clinics, which is what we kind of, in the article, it says they're joking about or being called a censorship zone. It's not officially called that, but They really have these things. So it makes it illegal for any individual to engage in any act or attempted act of approval or disapproval as it relates to abortion, and it includes verbal or written means, including prayer or counseling. So, yeah.
That's nuts.
Obviously, it's been called by people who are like, hey, that's messed up. It's a censorship zone, because that's exactly what it is. Yep.
Hmm.
Nuts.
Well, I don't know. I'm baffled. I don't even really know what to say about that. It's clearly insane. You can't, you know, when you make prayer illegal, you're overstepping the bounds of people's personal freedom in insane, incredible ways. You know, I don't even know who would defend that. Like, yeah, she shouldn't have been praying there. It's like, I don't know.
Oh, it gets better, dude, because they arrested her. And as part of her conditions for bail, police restricted her from praying publicly in other areas besides the abortion facility. So she's not allowed to pray anywhere in public? As what? Dude, what on earth? Oh, man.
Well, it's an important story, actually, because, you know, I think a lot of people of faith sort of feel that there is an attack on faith. And it started with COVID closing down the churches. Uh-oh, there's the music, so there we go. We got to wrap it up. You know what, Ruckus? Let's pray for this lady. We got 30 seconds left, but I love you, brother. And God bless everybody. God bless this lady. And we'll pray where we want to. Keep listening right. to TNT, everybody.
God bless free speech.
What do you got to say,
Joseph?
Ruckus?
George Orwell said, free speech is my right to say what you don't want to hear. God bless everybody.
God bless. All right, we'll see you again tomorrow night. Keep listening to TNT. Bye.